It's the After the Show podcast, precious.
We don't care. We're about to swear on the air. It's the After the Show, so tune in if you dare. KVJ, get your skay every single day. It's uncensored. We can say what we want to say.
Hello, hello. Happy Monday. Welcome to the KVJ After the Show podcast. Yeah. Jaber got a Squirrel Suck shirt on. You know what? Squirrels suck.
They suck slowly. Yeah.
They suck nuts slowly.
They do suck nuts slowly.
Yeah, they do.
They pelvic thrust. We've got some just aggressive squirrels where we live at.
Yeah.
And they do this thing with their crotch area. They look at you in the eye and they just kind of like do that humping thing in the air. It's bizarre.
Mm. Are they trying to mate with you or intimidate you?
Daddies! Just so people don't think I'm crazy, because someone said, Bert, I've got squirrels in my neighborhood. They're nothing like what you're talking about, your neighborhood. I'm telling you.
I think you guys, not you personally, but I think your neighborhood really messed up by starting to feed them. Because this has created literally little monsters.
Am I right, though? The squirrels are at a different level of aggression and not giving a shit and sweating humans.
They've become 100% humanized by this point. Like Virginia was saying, we have neighbors that have bird feeders and all these like houses for birds, but squirrels are the ones taking advantage of it. I feel like the birds aren't even getting in there.
Well, you've got a neighbor that hand feeds them nuts.
It's pretty rough.
I do, yeah. I have nut shells in my porch.
So you're teaching them not to fear humans, so yeah, they're giving you the whole crotch chop because they're not afraid of you.
And these sons of bitches are big. They are not small squirrels.
Well, because they're eating tons of snacks, and then they follow you around like you
have
snacks.
It throws off the whole balance of nature when they get fed. Yeah.
There's signs up in my community that says, do not feed the animals. Like, if you feed the animals, they will come for you. Like, because it just it throws everything off, and you literally ruin it for them and you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's rough.
Yeah, we have a couple squirrels by my house, and somebody's feeding them too because they're always walking around with peanuts, and that's just not a natural thing that happens in the neighborhood.
Well, these squirrels walk around with peanuts and peanuts because it's a weird, like a power thing they do.
They do seem to mate on your area a lot. Because, I mean, I don't really see them mating by me, but over by Bird, they're always mating.
He attracts animal sex.
They
know he likes it.
It's you.
We've got it on film.
Yeah,
I'm
we filmed
surprised
it.
You have squirrel porn.
No, yeah. It's not like, oh yeah.
It's basically what it is.
I'm over here jerking it to squirrels.
Finally, he confesses.
That's not what I'm doing.
But
here.
You do technically have squirrel porn. If you have...
You're right. If I died, if I died and someone went through my...
the technical definition of what you have is squirrel porn.
Well, you also have Denny's commentary on there. Whoa, I think they're having sex, man.
I buzz out of the camera.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I never forget.
He's always on it. He knows his role. Get right on that. So what you've got here is a new squirrel battle rap.
Too hot for the regular radio, Virginia.
Okay.
I had to go in on these things. I wanted you to be a part of it. I just didn't think you wanted to rap. You don't have the hatred to squirrels.
I don't. Because the Tequesta squirrels are very peaceful. They don't crotch chop nobody.
They're ritzy squirrels.
Well, they know their place. I haven't upset the ecosystem by feeding them.
Yeah, you guys would feed them beluga or caviar.
Beluga. Whale?
Bits of whale. Mm. Where am I going to find bits of whale?
What's that one? Never mind.
The brand of the caviar? Is
yeah, there used to be beluga caviar, but
now they're
outlawed.
Okay, got you. I'm too dumb to get that.
That job. Was the rich caviar. Though.
It was.
Beluga, huh?
But just like all your references, it's from the 80s.
It's old.
Old AF, like you.
It's like he's been frozen. He's like our own Captain America. Like we just thawed him out from 1985.
This morning.
Yes.
That's a great little concept, Kev. Yeah. I don't hate that.
All right, so here we go. Squirrel Power. This is your squirrel song.
Damn, y'all. I'm living in a nightmare.
True.
These overly aggressive squirrels got me shook. I got these squirrels in my neighborhood, and they're mean as fuck. They got me watching my back when I walk out to my truck. They flex their big ass muscles when they're eating on their nuts. They scare the shit out of me with their pelvic thrust. I'm so scared of this place where I'm living. Squirrels jacked up, looking like they just got out of
prison.
Where's the motherfucking HOA when you really need them? We're cornered by squirrels and they demand that I feed them. Squirrels are ruining my world. They got me scared just like a frightened little girl. These glorified rats, they have no souls. The squirrels in my neighborhood are assholes.
I got a rat face and a pot belly. These squirrels take dumps in my courtyard that are smelly.
These dudes are rude with a bad attitude. They would murder their own family for a
helping of food.
All these squirrels making me feel just like a wimp. Got me scared like a hooker who didn't pay her pimp. Fuck these squirrels, I'm so tired of living in fear.
If you want a piece of Jaybird,
I'm standing right here.
These squirrels are ruining my world. They got me scared just like a frightened little girl. These glorified rats, they have no souls. The squirrels in my neighborhood are assholes.
Yeah, there you go.
Fuck these squirrels.
Show them. I can't wait for their response.
So, I do.
Can we get the squirrel?
See what their take.
Response, Rob, yes.
I'd love for them to hit me back up with a response.
It's too bad, yeah, like Simon and Theodore and Alvin are chipmunks, because I feel like they would battle rap you back.
You know what? There's a big difference between a chipmunk costume and a squirrel costume, and funny enough, chipmunk costumes could have gotten here by today. Squirrel costumes are really fucking tough to get.
Damn. Yeah.
I know.
Chipmunks are not nearly in the same kind of demand as squirrels.
So, there you go. That's what we're doing while we're quarantined.
All those lyrics are so literal about what's happening to you too.
It's a personal story.
Yes,
it really is.
One man's.
It is.
Yeah, own issues. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things start to change now. You know, as everything has been a weird flux. You know, March 11th hit, and we had to kind of get used to that as we were shuttering everything up, and now things are going to start unshuttering, and now we got to shift and figure out exactly what this is going to look like and how quickly is everything going to go back to normal? Is it going to stay, you know, heading in that direction? Or are we going to have a shift where it's like we start to open up and, oh, damn, we got to close back up again? And then, you know, so I guess nobody really knows. But I did see that they say that as far as like one of the patterns for us being in radio is they said that AM/FM radio listening levels have recovered to 82% of pre-COVID-19 levels, which, you know, that's kind of a good metric for just about everybody because everything got thrown off with listening patterns and when people are listening because it's a habit thing. You get up in the morning, you do the same stuff, you brush your teeth, you eat your cereal, get the kids off to school or whatever it is you do, and you get in your car and you drive. And then, you know, that's when the world is normal. And then you're working from home and everything else. The world's not normal. Everything's kind of like thrown into a tailspin. And they can kind of mark this stuff with, you know, how many people are listening to the radio and when and where and all that kind of stuff. And so they say 82% back to normal with levels. So that would say that about 82% of people are back into their flow.
Okay.
Is kind of what I would read into that.
I like the positivity.
And these are national numbers. So some areas are going to be different. I think really a lot of that begins when you look at commuting. And commuting is when the restrictions have been lifted. And it's state by state, county by county. So maybe that's 82% across the country?
Yeah, I would think so. As you look at this. But
your numbers in your area are going to be very specific. So I don't know if country really matters so much to me as regional.
Mm-hmm. And where is South Florida compared?
Right.
You know, we'll see. It is a Nielsen, so they typically really only deal with probably the top 50 markets that they would be polling on this. So it would be your larger cities, and we would be in part of that top 50. So hopefully that's kind of showing that, You know, if you live in one of the bigger cities, that's what it looks like.
Okay.
We'll see. You know, it's just one thing to try to get, you know, for me, it's just trying to get a measuring stick to some extent of, okay, where is everybody set and what's going on? Kids got 3 weeks left of school for the virtual school, and where will that be, you know, when that happens? You know, is it gonna feel like a normal summer when kids are out of the virtual and done with the virtual schooling?
I don't think so. I think it's probably not feel normal. A little wonky.
Yeah.
I love that word, wonky. It's a good word to describe. It's going to be wonky.
I mean, my kid is leaving claw marks on the inside of the door. Just can't wait for the beach to open.
Oh, yeah.
That would be Magnolia?
Yes. She is like, Mom, the beach is opening on the 18th. On the 18th. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Just hit the brakes. Let's slow it down and watch and see. And do you really want to be the first one on the beach on the busiest day? Like, really?
Does she do the water sports like your jet skiing?
Loves
and
it.
Water.
Loves all skiing. Of that. Loves jet skis, loves boats, loves skimboarding, loves wakeboarding, loves all of that.
Now, you don't have any of that equipment yourself.
We don't, but our neighbor girl that she hangs out with every day has all that.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, she's been lucky by relation.
Mm-hmm. That was the first thing I lied to my mom about, was not doing all that water sport stuff. I went over to my friend's house, and she's like, you didn't do anything stupid. I was not allowed, because she knew I wanted to go in the jet skis. I rode the jet skis so much that time.
Yeah.
There were girls there. I couldn't go, I can't ride the jet
skis. My mom won't let me.
I'm
not allowed.
But I was right around the age of a Magnolia, 14, 15.
Yeah, I'm making her get her boater's license. So she's almost through the boating safety course, and she's doing it the right way. You know, she's not just going to be out there like reckless and blah.
Yeah.
She's got to learn like the laws of the waterways. But yeah, she loves it.
There's nothing better. We went out and did paddleboarding yesterday, and I've been pushing for a while, but luckily with the queen, she was like, you know what? She's like, I could do this every weekend. I'm like, good. I'm like, I want to.
It's great. It's great exercise.
It is. And there's just something about being out on the water and all that stuff. You feel better about yourself. There's some kind of connection, or just you're out doing something too.
Well, I think you're supposed to be in nature a little bit. I know.
Yeah.
I know there's some people who don't like nature. You don't have to love nature to still kind of feel somewhat connected to it.
Yeah.
I think it makes up part of our DNA, man.
So if I had to say probably how our life will be different even when things get back to normal, I think we'll probably be in the bars a little less or a lot less, and probably out doing stuff like that a little bit more.
Yeah, and that's good for
you. It is good for you.
Bring a flask on your paddleboard.
You up in the Jupiter area?
Yeah, we go to, is it Blue Point?
Okay, yeah.
And you drop off the back of Guanabana's in that whole area right around there. You go by a Harborside place.
You can rent them. You don't have to have your own.
It was $20, and I think it was cheaper than normal. I thought we used to pay $50, Kim thought. And it was just $20 to rent a paddleboard for an hour.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that's cool. We'll do that.
Maybe they dropped the price to get more people out there.
Might have been. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So
that's smart.
Yeah. So you can go check it out. And they do it. They have it like, you know, like somebody, the board's out there, and they keep their distance and all that good stuff. So you don't have to sweat it. Got to tell you, though, I was kind of looking at that, and I was just like checking everybody out there. I'm like, they all definitely listen to surf rock, and there's no way they could do any marijuana testing. In all seriousness.
No.
I mean, I just looked, but I was so like.
Blue line. That's what it is.
Yeah,
blue
I'm
line.
Like, gosh, yeah. I would love. But I just looked down. They all had like the surfer bodies and surfer hair. And I'm like, man, I've always wanted to have surfer body, surfer hair, and I would smoke the hell out of weed.
And like, they have a lab, and they fucking love that dog so much.
Yes, right. They got like a water sport dog.
Yes.
Just all that stuff. They can probably play guitar. They definitely fuck better than I do.
They play enough guitar.
No doubt about it.
They play enough guitar just to fuck better than you.
Yes. Yeah. If I had to say the kind of guy I've always wanted to be, that it's so polar opposite of who I am. It's really, I'm like, gosh, I've always just wanted to be that kind of. Well, and I was watching that Outer Banks too. You know, and they all kind of got that surfer type body. They're, you know, they're not totally jacked, but they're still, you know, fit.
They look great.
They look great. And I'm like, gosh, I've always never been in that stream of dude.
Denny's can teach you how to surf. I'll teach you guitar, talk to Hair Club, get the surfer hairdo going on.
I could, yeah. Happen. Yeah, except now I'm a middle-aged guy doing it.
Rebuilding.
Better late than never?
Yeah, I don't know. It's something you got to do. Really, when you start hitting like 32, 33, you're like, oh, you're still surfer stoner guy?
What would the queen do if all of a sudden you're like, babe, I'm just going to go ahead. I'm learning guitar. I'm growing my hair out like a surfer.
And you get dreads sewn in.
And I mean, Denny's just teaching me how to surf.
Yeah, I mean, she'd be like, you need to get over it. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
You would be allowed to do it.
Yeah, she'd be like, what are you doing? Yeah, stop it.
You're making us look bad.
Yeah. What are you doing? Come on. So I got to do that. I got to get out and get a little bit of exercise. Patricia in the chat room saying, yeah, Kevin looks sickly. Yeah, so I've lost.
Damn, who's saying that?
Well, I've lost a little bit of weight. I got to get a little bit of sun on the body. And
That's some bullshit.
Well, the problem for me is not working out typically doesn't mean getting fat. It means getting scrawny. And so you can tell when I haven't been working out because my muscle just exits.
You don't look sickly. Don't even listen.
Oh,
to that.
I appreciate your pet talk. It is.
Is it sort of believable?
No.
I try. I just don't have enough energy. Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Pep talk.
That's fine. And I hear you. Yeah. Hopefully soon. But yeah, the gym thing's going to be interesting. Luckily, the place where I work out, it's a smaller little kind of. It's not a bunch of. I've gone to the gyms with the sweaty people, and I don't know that I could go back into sweaty gym.
It's pretty gnarly when you think about it.
I was, like I told you, before coronavirus, when I work out there, I would have sometimes, like, I would work out on something, and I would come back, and then you would have kind of like a pimple kind of like thing that was just, yeah.
Like a gym wart?
Or, yeah, it was like a gym wart, and you're just like, but it was on a, like, I would, every time I come home from the sweaty gym, from the elbows down, I would wash, like, thoroughly. And it just, right above my wash line, I had gym pimple. And I'm like, that's got to be from some kind, who knows what kind of MRSA or whatever that is.
There's some videos online where somebody doesn't, this is before Corona even, where someone doesn't wipe down the gym equipment and people get pissed and there's altercations at the gym. And I'd imagine, does that happen quite often at the gym where people don't wipe down equipment and someone bows up?
I'm sure.
It has? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it really just depends. I used to work out with one of my cop buddies I would work out with, a big old dude, and he was a cop in life and cop in the gym. And
he's an enforcer.
He just doesn't. When somebody was, I'd be like, oh, come on, man, don't say anything. And somebody, I remember, would like, you're not supposed to drop the weights. They'd have these big weights, and they'd drop them down. And he'd be like, really, man? He's like, you're not supposed to drop the weights. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Uh-oh.
He's like, you're going to ruin the weights.
But he can back it up.
Oh, yeah. He's a massive, he's a wall of a man. You don't remember Steve,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. He can back it up and wants to back it up.
He wants to, I mean, he looked like a wall. He was so huge. And he would be over there just, and I'm like, oh, come on, man. Or somebody, yeah. And it was blatant gym etiquette violations.
Leaving the weights out's another one if you're leaving a bunch of weights out at a station.
He'd be like, look, your mom doesn't work here. He's like, put your fucking weights away.
Yeah.
You know? And nobody would say anything to him. They're like, okay,
okay,
right,
I'll put my weights away.
There's a lot of confrontations online with all that stuff.
He never really had a confrontation because as soon as he came up, somebody had said something like, okay, sir, I'm sorry. I'm
like, the best they could do was like, all right, well, I'm mad at Steve, so I'm going to hit Kevin.
Yeah, that's why I would stand far away. I wouldn't even get close to him.
I'll put these weights away, then I'll wipe the crap from my pants.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard because the gym etiquette's tough. And, you know, for me, sometimes I would jump between two machines, and it would look like you're not wiping it down, but if you're going fast, you don't. And then you would go sit in someone else's stew.
Oh.
There's nothing worse.
Oh. That is gross. And the idea of a tanning bed grosses me out.
It is now. It's really gnarly.
It's really gnarly.
Oh, just think about, they'd have to clean every round so good, and you know someone working there is not cleaning it good every single time.
She's 16. She's on the phone with her boyfriend, and she does not care about your germ.
They're in a fight because he's talking to, you know, Brenna, the new girl in town.
Yeah.
She's not wiping. You're right. That's so gnarly.
You know, as you get older, I think sometimes you know too much.
You're right.
I kind of wish I could go back to those days of being in my 20s.
Just being oblivious. And who cares?
Well, when I was 20, I would eat a 7-Eleven hot dog. I didn't think about the steaks. Now?
I know too much.
Shit that, man. Hell no, I wouldn't eat a 7-Eleven hot dog.
I would seriously like be upset if I had to eat a 7-Eleven hot dog. Like, it would really be hard.
The one that's even worse is the one, I think it's a sausage dog, and it looks like it's made of cookies and cream. It's gray.
It's looks like elephant skin if it had cookies and cream on it.
Exactly. Sick E.T. When E.T.'s all sick, that's the color of the meat.
Disgusting.
And they sell them like hotcakes. They're not a client, are they?
Not anymore.
Love the Slurpees.
Let me see a couple of emails here. Anonymous one from a fan from 2006. Says, from a teacher's point of view, I'd like to call out the 20% of parents who have given up on virtual school. You're setting the precedent for this format, as we will probably have some level of virtual school next year due to lack of vaccines and safety protocols that can be initiated in school. I mean, seriously, the busing alone can't be solved with 3 kids per seat on a bus that has over 30 seats. Since I know you're all mathematically challenged, that's over 90 kids per bus. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Reach out to your kid's teacher and ask for help. I know I talk to over 40 parents and students a week outside of my office hours and normal contacts. You're just setting yourself up for a bigger headache in the long run. Help me to help you. Yeah, I could see that. That is tough. Also, Kevin, I looked at many trendy diets over the years and agree that when I did a plant-based diet, I began to immediately put on weight due to the carbs. I just try to stick to lean meats, veggies, and fruits. The Whole 30 diet was a good roadmap to helping me find a diet that works for me. Although I've taken a method from the intermittent fasting and only eat from 2 to 6 p.m. Alcohol doesn't count. Yay. Okay.
Yeah, you ever have something you really, really like? I'm talking food. Mm-hmm. And you go in hard. You eat it a lot. And you eat mm-hmm. it every other day or every day. I know I do that. Mm-hmm. I did that with those vegan burgers, the Beyond Burger. I loved them. And then all of a sudden, I think I went too far, too many, and they started to gross me out. And I tried to go back to them, and there was a certain smell. I don't know. Once the smell got to me, I'm having a tough time going back.
I've done that. Yeah, you have a run through a certain type of food.
I went too fast, too quick, kind of like a relationship. Too hard, baby. Don't fall too hard.
Yeah, I get it, man. Been through a lot of that.
Not too quick.
Yeah, it's odd. Like foods or restaurants that I'm like, I couldn't live without this restaurant or food. Then all of a sudden it's just in the rearview mirror and like, I could not imagine going back. Now.
I don't know how to go back.
That's weird. And when you came back from the holidays, Virginia mentioned a 21 course meal and yet she didn't use a single item that she ate. I mean, what a tease. I don't know if you remember all that.
Oh yeah, that was the best. I ate so much in that meal. Mm-hmm. It was all single bite stuff. So it was like one little bite or 3 or 4 little bites. Like it wasn't like big entrees, 21 courses.
Okay.
It was fantastic. It's called the Catbird Seat in Nashville.
Okay.
So you know what I would like them to do? If you had that, you had the 23 courses. And at the end of the night, you get to write down 3 that you're able to take home that you loved, kind of like a doggy bag.
At the end, I was so full that I was it became not enjoyable anymore because really? It was too much food.
Do you think you could make me full with 23 one bite meals? Would I be full on that? I don't know if I would. I'd fuck that up.
Well, don't forget too, we ordered the cocktail and wine pairing that came with it. So every single entree came with a different cocktail.
23 drinks?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we ordered like a little extra thing, and then we ordered the spiked eggnog, which was extra, like.
And then
It was a lot.
So what time did you crap your pants?
Wow, yeah.
It was a lot.
Dang. Just sitting there just chowing.
But
huh?
It was fun, man. I've never had a meal like that.
The idea of sitting at a table and having that many different awesome little meals coming out is so exciting. If there was 23 things that I was looking forward to that's in my genre of food, that's good. Mm. That's good living right there.
And it
there.
Was so cool the way it was set up. So it's like this U-shaped bar. So you're basically sitting at this like U-shaped bar.
Is that like what, room for your stomach to expand?
And you're watching them like in the middle, like the kitchen's in the middle of this U-shape.
Okay.
And so you're watching them like a dance. And they do seatings every 20 minutes. So the people across from you already started like an hour ago. And so you're an hour behind them. And then there's new people coming in until the room is full. I think the capacity was like maybe like 15 or 20 people. I can't remember how many it was, but it wasn't a lot. But everybody's slightly ahead of you to your left and behind you to your right. Mm-hmm. And you're watching these servers and chefs in the middle just orchestrate this dance that was just, it was unbelievable to watch. It was really fun.
At first, I didn't like the concept of small little bites, but then thinking about it, okay, after bite 8, you're thinking, oh, what's bite 9? Oh, I wonder what they got in store.
It's always changing up. That's the exciting part about it.
Yes.
And there was seafood, and there was vegetarian stuff, and there was meat stuff, and there was cheese stuff, and there was savory, and there was spicy. And like, it just ran the gambit, and it was so unique. And the presentation, every time they put a plate in front of you, it wasn't really a plate. Like, it might be like a piece of marble that was your plate. And then every single piece of cutlery and fork and spoon was all different for every single entree, every single presentation. The glassware changed. Like, it was just so unique. And the detail, I'm a detail girl.
I have a challenge for you. Do you think if I gave you $250, is that enough money for you to come up with 23 different items that I would love for a 23-bite menu?
I don't
and
know.
You keep the change.
I don't know if I could do it. I think 23 different things to make. That is a massive undertaking.
That is.
You get to keep that change.
I don't think it's enough money. It's not worth it. The time it would take me to first design the menu, then go shopping, and I mean,
it's a couple day project.
It's a week project.
I'd be able to do it for you. I'd know what you like. I could give you 23 bangers that you would just love.
I don't think you understand the time it would take you to do that.
I get it.
$250 is not enough money either, because just your shopping alone, you can't buy the ingredients for one bite.
Right, yeah.
All right, fuck, I'm out. I'm not, bad idea, bird.
I couldn't do it.
Remy, I want to know, it's in Nashville, right? What was the name of the place one more time?
The Catbird Seat.
Catbird Seat, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm sure they have some stuff in South Florida like that. I mean, I know I've done burger, beer tasting, and they've done many different courses. I've done the Japanese place at the Hard Rock. We went there, Queen and I did, I think, 5 or 7 courses. And yeah, you get a cocktail with each one.
I want to do this.
It was fun. It is really fun. I never really thought of it. I wouldn't put myself in a foodie category. But it was just like, wow, that's amazing. And I was drinking cocktails I wouldn't normally drink. There was like a bourbon beverage that they gave me, and I'm like, I fucking hate bourbon. And
but
I drank
it. But then it was like an old fashioned or something.
I don't know what it was. It was delicious. I'm like, what did they do? I'm like, this actually is really good.
They probably, I mean.
Yeah, you've got like the highest level of mixologists.
Yeah.
And you've got like the highest level of sommeliers, like picking out a pairing to go specifically with each course.
Yep.
And it really is fun if you're into that.
It was, and I'm not, and it was still fun.
I want to do that, and I also want to go to the theater when you're eating dinner. When they
Dinner theater?
Is it called dinner theater?
Yeah.
I'm not as sophisticated as you. I don't have to tell you. I've never been in a dinner theater before.
I think dinner theaters were like hot in the 80s.
Yes.
There's not a lot of dinner theaters.
Ironically, yes.
Mom used to work in one.
They really haven't been a thing for about 30 years.
My mom was an actress in a dinner theater. That's how she met Frank.
I thought they had mystery theater stuff you could watch and eat.
Yes, but it's very niche.
I wouldn't know where.
Marketing.
Yeah. I thought in Lauderdale they got, there's signs for it. That's why I'm always excited. Mystery dinner theater.
It's hot in the 80s. It was hot in the 80s.
I'm not making up. There is a sign for a mystery dinner theater kind of a thing. Not from the 80s. It's still up there. Someone's got to back me up on this.
Okay.
But that doesn't sound...
No, they still do them, but they're few and far between.
That's not awful to you?
It sounds like I'm going to show up and it's going to be low budget. Huh. And the catbird seat is the opposite of low budget. It's like top of the line, best ingredients, best everything. Like, I'm here for the premium experience, not a Salisbury steak and bad acting.
All right, I guess we just run in different circles, Jaquesta.
We do.
I guess we are just different kinds of people. I get it. I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I get it.
Couple of food things more on your level here, Jay Bird. Stephanie said, recently you're talking about the boxed Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits, that they don't taste the same as the ones that they actually serve at Red Lobster. I want to share a helpful tip that was passed on to me by a friend. The boxed recipe deceptively calls for water, but using milk instead will significantly improve the taste of the biscuits.
Oh.
I also like to add more cheese than the recipe calls for. In my opinion, these modifications make the biscuits taste more authentic.
Thank you for that great announcement.
That's a good tip. And sometimes if I was going to add milk, I use half and half instead. And boy, talk about kicking up the richness and creaminess of it.
I got a Red Lobster cheddar biscuit challenge for you. You up for
you,
it?
I just cooked a fuck ton of food for your birthday. Can I have a break?
Why do you think I'm coming back, Mama?
You know how long I was in the kitchen?
I like what you're dishing out. You got
No, I'm taking a break. I need a week off.
Got me fed good.
Y'all don't get no vacation around here?
I don't ever get no home cooking ever.
I need a vacation.
It was nice.
You need a touch of a woman and the chefery of a woman.
So after you do his census, can you...
I've got to call and cancel some membership he's got, too, for the Palm Beach Post.
No, I've been paying that. Whoever brought up the newspaper today made me realize I never canceled it for Anne.
They are still delivering the Palm Beach Post to her place in Century Village, and somebody, whoever's living there, is loving it.
Isn't that some shit? Just loving that paper.
They're not going to say anything. They're getting the free paper.
All right, well... Things to do. Things to do.
Things to do. Yep. And if you are looking for the dinner theater, somebody said Medieval Times in Kissimmee.
That's what I'm talking about. Medieval Times. Yeah. That is my kind of night.
Get ready for your turkey leg or Salisbury steak.
Right, you tell me, if we pre-gamed in the hotel bar and we went to Medieval Times, you wouldn't have a blast.
I would go. I would have a blast. I just wouldn't be looking for it to be a culinary experience.
I hear you, but at that point, yeah, having some laughs, got a good buzz going. Turkey leg ain't so bad now, is it?
I would go.
Oh, good. The Mariah Carey of the Palm Beaches would go.
She would go.
I would go.
She would go.
It's more about the company at that point than it is the cuisine.
Does Medieval Times sound awful to you?
Yeah.
It does? Really?
Yeah, terrible.
But we would go for you because we know it makes you happy.
Well, I don't know if Kevin would.
Yeah, I don't think I probably would.
In fact, I know he would not. Yeah. But you would bitch the entire time. It would not be enjoyable.
Well, the only thing I've found, and I've been in those situations, is you ever go when you drink and then you go someplace where you're just kind of sitting. And either one, it's fun if you quickly get kicked out and move on to something else. But yeah, then try either I'm going to sit there and be miserable, or I'm going to fall asleep, or we're going to get kicked out. It's got three options.
Going to the movies is rough. I remember we saw that Mad Max movie after we did a Dirty Martini gig.
Oh, and my gosh.
Yeah, we had...
You watched a movie after Dirty Martini?
Well, I remember coming in on Monday saying the new Mad Max sucked. That's because I was drunk, and then I watched it sober. It's a really good movie. I gave a shitty review.
Okay. And here you go. This is about Polar Cup. Chris said, I heard Bird's excitement about Polar Cup. They closed years ago. They were based out of Tampa, but tell them to get excited because they reopened a few months ago in the Tampa area, and I had a few friends try it, and they said it tastes slightly different, but it's still yummy.
Okay.
So maybe they'll bring that back. You talked about that as a kid. A lot of people are like, oh, I remember Polar Cup.
It just was cool to have the convenience of something delicious roll up to your house. It's kind of like delivery now. We're living in a great time for delivery. I know I bitch a lot, But the fact that the options are there, it's only going to get better, in my opinion.
The delivery game?
It has to, because there is a lot of flaws with it, and I know a lot of people are complaining. But the idea is great enough that I don't think it's going anywhere. But they can definitely improve. I had another shitty moment on Friday trying to get a pizza to my place. They didn't have the right address. They called the wrong number.
Oh, boy.
They had an older number for me, so they just took off. Yeah.
You've had many numbers.
I've had many. It was fuckery.
And let me see. I think that's about all we got. Tomorrow we got some show suggestion stuff that we'll go over. Virginia will tell us a little bit about she watched. Was it Pharmacy? What was the name of it?
The Pharmacist.
The Pharmacist, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I loved it.
It's a real thing?
It's a real documentary based on this man and his family. And he actually, like, where I lived in New Orleans, his community was right across the Mississippi River from where I lived.
Okay.
But, you know, if I didn't go over there. That was like another world to me. I never went over there. But it's interesting to watch it. Knowing how close we actually grew up to each other, it's just it hit me really close. And it's an excellent story about what this dad did. He became a crusader, and he was not going to take no for an answer. And he rose up, and to his own detriment, professionally and personally,
right?
He fought the good fight, and it's just a beautiful documentary.
Oh, that's cool. I got that on my list.
Yeah,
he is a hero. I mean, inspiring hero.
The one I want both of you to watch so bad. I don't think you have HBO, Kev, but
I do.
Oh, you do? That's awesome. And I'll give you my password so you can watch it on the on-demand.
I'll be happy to steal your HBO.
It's that Elizabeth Holmes documentary. I keep talking about it.
Okay.
She's the one that tried to be like Steve Jobs. And
it
is such a fascinating one. You both would really, really enjoy
60 Minutes did a piece on her, and I loved it.
It goes really in-depth on the HBO one, and I think you would highly love it.
I'm here.
Okay, good stuff. And got one here, a suggestion from Talina. It's called Dust. One of the mentors, it's a listener suggested for Jaybird to watch. Lots of weird science fiction stuff, and clips are well put together. So,
Dust.
Dust. D-U-S-T.
Okay.
Very cool.
There's one about a sex robot.
Well, that's just his bag.
No, it is. So people think I'm so weird.
I want to fuck a robot. I want to fuck a real good.
But warning, it's a little sad/dark. Okay.
Let me guess. You feel bad for these poor losers.
Yeah,
that
I feel like that's where we're going.
Fucking robots. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, it's probably really dark.
The robot fucking is such a good idea until you come. And you're like, what have I done?
Yeah.
Like, I'm such a mess.
Yeah, as soon as you get all that out, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm terrible.
And now you got to clean up the robot.
It's rough.
Oh, and another place for dinner theater, the Polynesian restaurant in Lauderdale, the Maikai, I think is the name of it.
Okay.
Yeah. People are talking about that. So,
Mama,
yeah.
We are going to go see some good theater and get some shitty food.
Just what I want.
It's a date? All right, thank you all for locking in and checking us out here today. We continue more Quarantine Radio tomorrow. Have a good Monday. Goodbye.